Secrets to Being a World Changer, Part 2, The Doing of Leadership. Written by Jonathan Chu and Leo Zeto. Narrated by Kat Lukabaugh. Dedication. We dedicate this book to all those who have taught us what we know, mentored us over the years, and encouraged us to do what we do best, create our own futures. Heartfelt thanks to our families, cousins, and friends whose unwavering support pushed us to write this book. From Leo, a special thanks to John Gillick and Michael Sekuler for their partnership in making shared ideals a reality. From Jonathan, a special thank you to Trish Cerrone, who inspired me to tap into my inner writer, and Dave Durham, who has shown me the magic of building worlds. Introduction. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Margaret Mead. Welcome to the second half of the journey, the doing characteristics of world changers. In the first part, you learned the traits that made up the being of leaders. Now in part two, you'll see the way world-changing leaders transmute their personalities into a golden nugget of action, and learn how they put their vision, imagination, and creativity toward a better future, taking a concept and making it a reality. Part two of this audiobook series will provide you with examples of world changers that can dream about an idea that has purpose, figure out how to play with that idea, and gain the know-how to build it and actually bring it to life. You'll see how they communicate that idea to others, bring them along, and enlist them as part of a larger goal. And in this second part of the series, you'll also learn how to develop the secret set of skills. As Jim Rohn, American entrepreneur, author, and motivational speaker said, "The promise of the future is an awesome force." Leaders who have changed and are currently changing the world see a different and better future, and they want to make it real. We look backward for experience, but we look forward for inspiration. What gives us inspiration to get up in the morning, learn skills, and be all we can possibly be is the promise of the future. Let this vision drive you. Rohn goes on to say, reasons make the difference in how your life turns out, in your appetite and zest for taking on the challenge, doing the job, and becoming successful. If you have enough reasons, you can do the most incredible things, and you can get through the most difficult day. In short, you can overcome the most unbelievable challenges if you have enough reasons. The Circles of Victory Recap. You can get everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. Zig Ziglar. A short recap from the first audiobook for those who have spent some time between listenings. From part one, we drew inspiration from the circles of ikigai, or one's reason for being. So we created the similar circles of victory to describe how to change yourself from within to bring about a person's reason for leading. Remember, the circles of victory comprise three overlapping circles. The first circle is vision, something to be passionate about. The next circle is imagination, something we all have. The final circle is creativity, something we can learn to be better at. Where imagination and vision overlap is dream, where vision and creativity overlap is build, and where creativity and imagination overlap is play, where they all meet in the middle is leadership. These circles are direct correlations between the Ikigai diagram and what we've called the circles of victory. Replacing the ingredients toward self-actualization in Ikigai, we describe the three foundational ingredients that all great leaders share in their personalities and in their being in the circles of victory. The overlapping areas correspond to the combination of these ingredients forming the essential actions of what great leaders do and what great leaders have in common. We happened upon this incredible formula when we were creating a talk for IEEE USA's 2016 Future Leaders Forum. Having both spoken about leadership in the past, we endeavored to find a more universal way to describe leadership, not only for our own fields, but for all walks of life. The circles of victory are unique. The diagram is the recipe for leadership, and the pursuit of finding better ingredients is the key to becoming a great leader. Of course, one must lead with conviction. It is not enough to simply lead for the sake of leading, but lead you must, for not to rise to the occasion would upend your deeply held beliefs in what is right. In his book, Start With Why, TED speaker Simon Sinek writes that most people start life from the wrong direction. Take the three concentric circles of why, how, and what described by Sinek. Why is at the center, how is the middle ring, and what is the outer ring? And there's an arrow pointing from the center to the outside edge. Most people start with what, then tell you how you're going to get there, and then tell you the why. They may describe the why mostly in vague terms if they ever happen to get to that part. But in reality, the people that gain the most success and the most progress actually appeal to the emotions first and then go into the details, starting with the big picture and then going to the small. Sinek gives the analogy of a luxury car commercial. Most people start from the inside out, meaning they start with the what. An example advertisement might sound something like this. Our car gets great gas mileage and has leather seats, amazing electronics, etc. And because of our hybrid technology or regenerative braking or whatever, and the rest of those things, you should buy our car. This what doesn't stir a desire or inspire action to purchase. It just gives the facts. It doesn't appeal to a person's emotion. Whereas companies like Harley-Davidson and Apple Computers appeal to a certain look and feel. If you drive a Harley, you are part of something larger, a community that stands for manly and cool. Some people believe in the brand so much they get it tattooed on their arm. If you buy an Apple Computer, it means you think differently and stand up above the status quo. And maybe the people who do can change the world. These companies chose to sell from the outside in. They started with a story and appealed to their customers' larger underlying reasons for being. Why? Our why? Our reason for getting up in the morning. Why it matters to do so. We all have it buried deep inside of us. We just have to be willing to go on that treasure hunt to discover our true nature. You may think, oh, if I don't get up this morning, no one would care, no one would notice. But that's where you would be mistaken. Every single little action you take, even down to your mere presence in a room, can make a difference, even if it's just a subconscious difference. We don't often see the impact we make on others because most people are afraid to come up and express their feelings and gratitude. But countless examples of things, as small as a quick 5-millisecond smile given to someone in passing, may stop someone from thinking suicidal thoughts that day, or change a life, or give someone courage. The truth is, you may not realize you are already changing the world little by little, moment by moment. Wouldn't you say any difference, no matter how small, might be worth taking? So why not live a life where you first change people's lives subtly and worry about changing people's lives more grandly on a bigger scale thereafter? Have you ever had someone in your life that has secretly influenced you in ways that person will never know or understand? You can be that person too. You already may be. There's a saying that goes something like this. There are three types of people in the world. One, people who make things happen. Two, people who watch things happen. Three, people who wonder what happened. What category would you want to be in? Why? Don't let the noise of the world get in your way. As Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. That's your ikigai. That's the real you. All you have to do is start uncovering it. Part 2. The doing of leadership. As we said in the introduction, we've split this audiobook into two parts. The first part deals with the motivation and mindset necessary to become a leader, the being of leadership. The second part explores the doing of leadership. The actions that leaders take to create change in the world is the doing. These two parts are symbiotic. The journey toward being a better leader prepares you to enact greater change in the world. It's why we drew the three parts of doing in between the individual themes in the circles of victory. We labeled each intersection with a verb: dream, play, and build. We feel these verbs are appropriate terms to describe the core things that leaders do to change the world, whether by spreading a message, finding an innovative solution, or putting brick to mortar. Regardless of the verb, the key idea is that leaders take action. If this philosophy seems simple, good, because it is. Being a leader doesn't mean all of your decisions must be perfect. Rather, it implies you have a responsibility to use your abilities, knowledge, and experience to take action. The great aim of education is not knowledge, but action. Herbert Spencer. In the following sections, we'll go over each of these actions and provide some examples of leaders known for their work in that capacity. As with the first section, these sections are each independent. Feel free to reflect upon them in any order. 1. Dream, to evangelize for a better future. 2. Play, to assess all possibilities. And 3. Build, to make something that matters for others. Dream. The universe is change. Our life is what our thoughts make it. Marcus Aurelius. We've now come to the physical manifestation of combining vision with imagination and bringing those two forms of being into the first step of making real change. We've defined the act of dreaming, in the case of a world changer, as someone who desires a better future. It's the view of the future for themselves and its meaning. But it's not just any desire, it's a burning desire, where your vision of a potential future is so compellingly moving, it stirs your boundless imagination to come up with ways to get there. You are so overcome by the greatness of its potential that all you want to do is turn it into kinetic energy. Civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream so strong, he started an entire movement that gave voice to an entire oppressed generation, changing decades of political intransigence and the views of an entire nation. His dream was not just a vision, not just an idea in his imagination, but something that gave him the energy to get up every morning and keep moving forward. In a sense, it's the kind of world-changer dream we're talking about, using the imagination to come up with the most optimistic outcome of a vision not yet realized. For example, take Elon Musk, founder of SpaceX and Tesla. In countless interviews, Musk has stated that when he was in college, he asked himself, "What would most affect the future of the world?" His answers included 5 areas. 1. The internet. 2. Sustainable energy. 3. Making life multiplanetary. 4. Genetic engineering. And 5. Artificial intelligence. Musk believed in the first 3 so strongly that they would be unequivocally good that he started to make them happen, funding and creating companies such as eBay, SolarCity, and SpaceX. The last 2 in the list had a higher potential to be dangerous to humanity, but perhaps you, the listener, can find a way to bring them to fruition without destroying the planet. Elon Musk has stated his mission over and over, not just so that the world knew it, but in a way that reminded him that these things are his goals and his life's purpose, and that one day they would become a reality. His ambitious dreams became the driving force that created the companies he founded. And we all know Musk's ventures in PayPal, Tesla, and SpaceX have all become multi-billion dollar companies as a result. Dreams are the beginnings to roadmaps. They are inherently ambitious and challenging, but in the specificity is the guidelines. It's the beginning of the how to the why. If you don't know where you want to be in 5 years, how do you expect to get there? Dreams give you that answer. Take John F. Kennedy's famous speech at Rice University regarding the space race. In the speech, Kennedy identifies the dream of the United States becoming a leader in aerospace. And with his words, he creates a compelling image of what the challenges and benefits would be. To make the dream of landing a man on the moon a reality, Kennedy did something unbelievably clever. He set a deadline. On May 25, 1961, he declared to Congress and the following year to the nation, "Before this decade is out, we should commit wholeheartedly to achieving this goal." Leaders set deadlines and make concrete goals because it provides a viewport into the leader's vision for a better future. It is a blueprint that inspires and aligns a group daring all to contribute to great things. Our dreams affect our lives, the meaning we give them, and our view of the future for ourselves. So, when you have a dream, and that dream is strong and compelling, we implore you and urge you to share it. Tell it to your friends, your family and neighbors, your classmates. Shout it to the world. Because there's something powerful in stating your dream to the world. When you do so, it will help you manifest your vision in ways you may have never even realized were possible. People are more willing to help your dreams become reality than you think, especially dreams that can change the world. Strong dreams create a force that people are willing to stand behind and support. It then becomes your job to lead them. Further reading: The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Play. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not an act, but a habit. Aristotle. It is perhaps a little strange to envision leadership having anything to do with play. After all, isn't play suitably confined to the realm of children and make-believe? But that's precisely what allows world changers to create solutions that break the mold and then turn entrenched ways on their heads. In our circles of victory, play is the combination of imagination and creativity. It is the physical manifestation of using your imagination, a collection of perspectives you can shift between, and your creativity, a methodical, systematic way to generate novel solutions to problems. Playing is applying both skills at once to assess all possibilities. Take Richard Branson, for example. A prolific business magnate, Branson started Virgin Records in the early 1970s, and then started playing around with the idea of expanding into different industries. So in the 1980s, he decided to tackle the giants of the airline industry with Virgin Atlantic Airways, simply because he was stuck on an island and needed some way to get off. In the 1990s, he launched Virgin Mobile and entered the mobile device industry. And in the early 2000s, he founded Virgin Galactic to join others in the race to space tourism. When asked about his brand stretching in an interview, Branson responded, "Business is giving people in their lifetime what they need and what they want," he said. "And you know, I've had great fun turning quite a lot of different industries on their heads and making sure those industries will never be the same again because Virgin went in and took them on." His unique perspective of integrating play into his entire brand allowed his business to operate in new ways, antithetical to the entrenched ways of how business as usual is done. So what is the lesson here? Branson is just one of many world changers who understand that there is no such thing as failure. And yes, he tried many other ventures that we haven't heard of because they didn't quite take off, no pun intended. But it's because Branson embodies a paradigm of failure, he sees it not as a horrible defeat, but instead as a first attempt in learning, F-A-I-L. Taken in that light, we should have no shame or fear in trying things, and if we get knocked down, then trying again. It's all about experimenting and having fun at the same time, something we did often as kids, using our imagination and creativity during playtime. This idea of playing is all about existing in a delightful loop of choices and surprises. It allows us to carry out multiple scenarios that exist in the future. Why is playing so important? Because our brains are like simulation machines. If we can learn from our mistakes, then we can use that experience and carry it into our next activity or venture. Like a well-trained chess master, playing allows us to see patterns and possibilities where others can't. One could argue play is a state of mind. In fact, more and more companies around the world are realizing that to boost innovation, they need to allow their employees to enter into a mental state of play. Studies in neuroscience support this concept of play as a productivity booster. When our brains emit alpha waves, nicknamed amazing alpha, we are at the stage where we are most relaxed, where we are most creative. However, most of us emit beta waves, nicknamed busy beta, throughout our day, our normal working state. We get stuck in this beta wave state because we tend to dwell on our everyday worries and distract our focus by constantly checking our phones, for example. We need to find ways to reach and, most importantly, stay in the alpha wave state of mind because that's where we are most creative. In fact, it's interesting to take note of two other brain waves, theta waves and delta waves. The delta waves, nicknamed deep delta, are often linked with healing and regeneration. But unfortunately, these waves are only produced when you're in deep sleep, so it's hard for us to consciously tap into them. The theta waves, nicknamed terrific theta, are fascinating because these waves are emitted just as we are falling asleep and while we're dreaming. These waves are known for the vivid, colorful imagery that can occur. And because theta waves are a little easier to produce, they present potential access into boundless imagination and creativity. In fact, notable minds such as Einstein, Aristotle, and artist Salvador Dali played around with the line between alpha and theta waves. As the famous story goes, Dali would place a tin plate next to a chair, then sit in the chair and subsequently hold a key in his hand while he drifted off to sleep. Just as he dozed off, the key would drop and hit the tin plate. He would suddenly jolt awake, jump to the nearest canvas, start painting as much as he could, and produce some of the most interesting paintings the artistic world has ever seen. Leaders do not shy away from the whimsical and non-essential. Instead, they blend these elements into their workflow. So, play more games, walk around the neighborhood, and let your mind wander. You'll find more opportunities in places that give you the chance to be a better leader and change the world around you. Further reading. What the fun? 427 Simple Ways to Have Fantastic Family Fun by Donna Bazzo. Build. The most successful people have the same 24 hours in a day that you do. Jay Samet, author of Disrupt You. The last and arguably most important task in our to-do list for leaders is build. Although build has many definitions, we define it as creating something that matters for others. As a leader, building is the final step in taking something from the impermanent space of the mind into the permanent space of the real world. We classify build as a skill utilizing the combination of vision and creativity, as it requires creativity to solve the real-world problems we face and a vision to drive it all to useful conclusion. To build is to come full circle in a vision's life, encompassing both the starting and ending points of a leader's role. It's also worthwhile to mention effective leadership contains the careful distinction of specifically building something that matters. Invariably, when considering any endeavor, we must tie the objective back to the human element. Taking time to understand how creating such an idea, product, or solution will positively or negatively create change for others is necessary. And since time is of the essence, we must also build something that matters in a timely manner. The core of being an effective builder lies in the practiced straddling of these two conflicting forces. Building is the culmination of some of the most powerful characteristics of being a world-changing leader, because building is truly where ideas become realities. It's important in this step to remember that the key to building is using your time and energy as effectively as possible. Steve Jobs is famous for having said, "Real artists ship." Essentially, he's saying, don't just put all your energy into thinking about your art, product, or idea. You need to devote time to actually putting it on canvas, building it, and making it come to life so that the world may appreciate its value. We came up with the concept of activity buckets because today we spend most of our time consuming content instead of creating it. Creators are the ones influencing and directing the future of the world we live in. Here's a short list of general activities that we normally find ourselves in during a 24-hour period. That's 1,440 minutes. Considering sleep is the opposite of activity, we've excluded it as a bucket. Since we sleep about a third of the day, we have about 960 minutes we're awake doing activities. These may vary for each person, but the majority of activities fall into a few categories. Data insights company Domo reported on the typical activities of CEOs. Creating, 55.6%. Learning, 7%. Exercising, 5.6%. Leisure, 31.8%. If you take a quick second to actually track your hours during the day, that is, driving to work, sitting in a class lecture, eating food, etc., you'll be surprised with what you actually do. Where do you spend the majority of your hours? Leaders who are changing the world have a distribution curve that is heavily geared toward the buckets of creating, but also dedicate a significant amount of time toward leisure as well. But we're not saying leisure time isn't productive. While sitting on a park bench watching his two daughters, Walt Disney had a vision of a clean and respectable place where both parents and kids could have fun together. Having just had success in his animation studio, he put his sights to building something everyone thought he was crazy for thinking. Armed with his vision and creativity, he gathered a small group of his top animators and devoted them to building his dream. They played with different concepts, layouts, and attractions, then set off to build the world's first ever theme park in just a little over a year. This crazy vision, once known as Walt's Folly, turned into what we all know today as Disneyland. On opening day, he gave the dedication address, now written at the entrance flagpole on Main Street, stating, "To all who come to this happy place, welcome." Walt's opening address revealed a key aspect of his leadership. His speech, kicking off what is arguably one of the most important achievements of his life, is dedicated not only to his family and granddaughters, from which the original concept stemmed, but to all the world. Disneyland is your land. Here, age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Walt Disney. Leaders create change by building something that matters to others. The journey starts in the realm of vision and ends in something having been built. We encourage all present and future world changers to take action. It doesn't have to be perfect action. Just make imperfect progress and you'll overcome decision paralysis. In the battle for your hopes and dreams, starting is halfway to victory. Further reading. The Book of Doing, Everyday Activities to Unlock Your Creativity and Joy, by Allison Arden. Disrupt You, Master Personal Transformation, Seize Opportunity, and Thrive in the Era of Endless Innovation, Jay Samet. Conclusion and Call to Action. We are taught that you must blame your father, your sisters, your brothers, the school, the teachers, but never blame yourself. It's never your fault, but it's always your fault, because if you wanted to change, you're the one who has got to change. Katharine Hepburn. We believe that a story well told can change the world. We believe anyone willing to try can make a difference. We live in a world where ideas are important. The executions of those ideas are increasingly difficult, and the stakeholders and partners necessary to bring these ideas to life in a way that makes the world a better place is more important than ever before. You've seen what it takes, what skills and characteristics those who have changed and are changing the world embody. You have those same traits and the same prowess within you. We believe everyone does. You just have to become aware of those latent abilities and decide to use them for good. Remember, you can't change the world in a day. Though some unforeseen events can happen that may change the world as we know it very quickly. For example, terrorist attacks, a giant meteor destroys the Earth, a dog eats your homework. World changers sometimes take months to plan and can actually prevent disasters with months of preparation. It's important to make sure that the greatest pull on your life is the pull of the future. People let the past pull them back. The past can be like gravity if you let it pull you back. It's best to use the past to get advice for the future, but some people live in the past and live in its darkness, mistakes, and discouragement. Dreams and goals can become magnets. The stronger the goal, the higher the purpose, the more powerful the objective, the stronger the magnet that pulls you in that direction. Dreams can also pull you through all the down days and difficult times, the winters of your life. Some people get lost in the confusion of the day simply because their dream isn't bright enough to pull them through. Leadership is a continual journey. There are leaders and there are those who lead. Simon Sinek. Leaders come in many different forms and shapes, and it's important to differentiate between people in leadership positions versus true leaders, the people who inspire others or create world-lasting change. Now, they certainly can be one and the same. A person in a management position can also be the person who is changing the world, and often it is the people in those higher-up positions who can create the greatest change. You just have to have the makings of a world changer first so that when you do move into one of those world-changing positions, you can create the greatest change. Most of the world leaders we've discussed in this book actually didn't want to be in a management position. They simply had to take on that responsibility to realize the dreams that they had or the vision they could create for their lives and the lives of others. Most people believe that all great leaders have endured some sort of hardship that allowed them to build up the thick skin that got them where they are today. While that is partially true, the actual root of it also stems from their levels of determination, ambition, and drive. As humans, we all have endured hardships, or what we personally define as hardships, yet not all of the people that have gone through hardships have become world-changing leaders. It is what we do and how we react, hopefully in a strong and positive manner, that allows our life to bolster us rather than bring us down. The world is not filled with problems. It's filled with opportunities, just waiting for the right leaders to unlock their values and potential. Start today. Keep on learning and growing and evolving yourself. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't waste another moment. Don't focus on being the world's best leader. Be the best leader by changing the world. About the authors. Jonathan Chu currently works at Walt Disney Imagineering as a program manager overseeing much of the inspirational Blue Sky projects, looking 5 to 10 years out at potential new immersive experiences. Prior to working on Blue Sky, Jonathan worked as a ride controls engineer and project coordinator for Carland at Disney California Adventure and Fantasyland at the new Shanghai Disneyland Resort. He has inspired hundreds on finding their own personal motivation and creativity to be the best versions of themselves, no matter what passion and career they choose to pursue. He has been an IEEE member since 2007 and was president of the IEEE student chapter at UCLA. He is passionate about creating happiness and spreading joy to everyone around the world. Simply put, Jonathan loves what he does. Learn more about Jonathan here. http://chewjonathan.com. That's chewjonathan.com. Leo Zeto is a recent graduate of UCLA in electrical engineering and computer science and has been spending the past few years designing and building Shanghai Disney Resort as an Imagineer, specializing in ride engineering. A strong believer in the creative potential of everyone, Leo has given numerous talks in the United States and China on the technical creative, people who can dream, design, and execute with vision and passion. To that end, Leo has built his interests and hobbies around building and creating things. He has worked on and led projects such as GPS-guided bomb-sniffing dogs, Skype-based telepresence robots, a walk-in Christmas snow globe, and most recently, a card game about designing evil dungeons for unsuspecting heroes. He is currently the co-designer of Codiate, creating immersive VR games, and finding novel solutions to various VR interaction problems. Leo believes that VR and AR have the potential to stand alongside established mediums, and he is incredibly excited to be part of it. Simply put, Leo loves what he does. Learn more about Leo here. http://www.leozeto.com. That's www.leozeto.com. This has been Secrets to Being a World Changer, Part 2, The Doing of Leadership, written by Jonathan Chu and Leo Zeto, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh.